Welcome to the 7:30 half hour of Good Morning Ozarks. It's the 7:30-ish. It's 7:36, actually, if you've got somewhere to be. It's 45 degrees on March 22nd, 2024. Good morning, Mr. Ingram. We're here at the round table.
We are. Let me ask you a question.
Yes, sir.
Don't you just love people?
Oh, yeah.
You know,
most of them.
We've all agreed that if everybody was like you and I, it'd be a great place. And if you and your wife have said us, then people are weird. And you look at your wife and say, you know what? They look at us saying, you're
weird
too.
Yeah.
All speaking of weird,
perspective.
Morning, Greg Stone.
Another good segue.
Hey, how about
hey, Greg?
That one, Greg?
Hey, gentlemen.
Yes,
man,
sir.
I remember when you were young.
I don't.
Now, let me ask you a question.
He's tried to forget.
It's tournament time in Missouri, Arkansas, Purdue, all these things, all the people, all the pundits and everything else. Tell me, who'd you have in your Final Four?
I had Kentucky.
No!
Ouch.
Ouch.
I got Tennessee. I got North Carolina. And I can't remember who the other
North
one is.
Carolina.
Oh, Iowa State. I got Iowa State, Tennessee in the finals.
There's a sleeper.
There's a sleeper. Iowa State's good.
And everybody's been against my Boilermakers. That's okay, because I know how Kentucky feels today. Oh, my goodness. Crazy, crazy, crazy.
Oh, wow.
Well, buddy, good to see you.
It's good to see you.
Now, when you grew up, you went to school where when you were young? I want to say Joplin, but that's not right. You're not Joplin.
I went to Branson.
You're Branson. Well, that's right. I remember that.
I went to Branson. I went to college my first year at school, the Ozarks, as
right.
it was called back then. Then
right.
I went to Central Missouri State. I got my degree in journalism.
Right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Warrensburg, Missouri.
I had our first taste of Warrensburg in 1967 when the quarterback from our football team went to play football at Warrensburg.
How about that?
First time I ever heard of it. Now, you spent your time next to the Ingram Ranch when it was the Acres Ranch, next to the junior high and high school building then, but now it's just a junior high school.
Yep.
Yep.
Yep. I was a class of 82 from Branson in what's now the junior high, and I ran track in junior high on that
oh,
track.
Oh, my. Good track.
Oh, yeah.
It was a good track. The problem is, though, that the wind would hit you right on the home stretch.
Oh, boy.
And you're running. I was a distance runner,
and that
wind would just eat you up.
Yeah.
Greg, I tell you what, I watch those distance races start in the beginning, and they run until the shot puts over until the end when you're ready for the four. Before there was a guy coming around the track. Who's he? Oh, he started about 3 days ago.
Yeah.
How did you start endurance? How was it just something you could run and you just had the breathing techniques?
I grew up in the hills.
Sure.
I'd run up and down the holler and pick walnuts, and it developed what I called my mighty oak legs back then, which
sure.
are now balsa wood or something. I
yeah,
don't know.
That's all right.
So
but,
running up and down prepared you for that flat track?
Yeah, and, well, I wasn't that good.
I
had a guy named Ed Sonato, who was one of the best in the conference, along with Jeff Pigg, and I watched from the back in most races. But I tell a story at College of the Ozarks. There was a multi-school track meet, and I decided, and I didn't tell anybody, I didn't tell my coach, and this is eighth grade, I was gonna win the first lap, and whatever happened, and I sprinted the first lap, and
coming
around the last stretch, I was leading the race, and as soon as I hit the finish line to keep going, they passed me, and I finished next to last, but I won the first lap.
I love it. I love that. So you want another good track story?
Yes.
To Travis Bronner. With Chance Thurman, you want it?
Yes.
It's a pretty good one. They were good. Keith, when you go to a track meet, probably the best race of all is the 4x400, okay? Now, I cannot remember exactly if Chance and them were in the 4x1 or if they were in the 4x2. I don't think it was the 4x4 because that's what Wes was in, and they were pretty doggone good. They were good. They were state-caliber-type guys in their relay.
Right.
Chance Thurman, who you know very well because he was in your house when
The
shingles fell
through the roof.
From the top of his roof to his basement, a whole pallet of shingles.
Yep.
Hello.
When Matt and Chance were hanging a window, and they looked at each other and goes,
shattering shingles.
What was that?
Yeah.
Well, they found him in Keith's
basement.
Okay. Put him in a natural skylight.
That's it.
And it was Chance that was the lead guy.
Mm.
And so everybody's excited. These are state qualifiers, and it's Chance, and it's Travis, and I forget the other two, and man, the gun goes, Mr. Polk, and they take off like crazy. And all of a sudden, they're walking across the infield, the whole team.
Somebody forgot the baton.
Yeah. When Travis put his hand out, Chance slapped his hand like giving him five. He left the baton lay by the...
There's a talk illustration there somewhere.
Greg, I'm so excited to have you back at the microphone because you're a good friend, you're a good man, and you surround yourself with good people like Mike Lidecker, Jimmy Funderburg.
Just had breakfast with him.
Well, tell him hello.
They said to tell you all hello.
Well, hello.
Hello, guys.
Tell us how the banquet was. We had some, they wanted some interviews and stuff that didn't work out for us. But for you, how was the banquet?
We had to, it was back February 29th at Thousand Hills Resort Hotel. We had 200 people from the community. Sue Head spoke, did a great job talking about the need for a ministry like Young Life, what kids are dealing with now. We had kids share just some powerful testimonies. I think of my friend Austin from Branson, who accepted Christ at camp a couple years ago with his leader, was talking about it. It was a tremendous time, and we finished 20 minutes early, which wow. You usually don't finish early from a banquet. Nope. And people stuck around and visited and shared. It was just a real joyous time and a real encouraging time, a real hopeful time for the area. There's a lot of great ministries, great programs in Branson, and with Young Life, Wildlife for junior high age kids, Capernaum for kids with disabilities. I'm very excited to see what the Lord's doing.
Well, thanks for your leadership, and thanks for your unfailing ability to continue to give to the community like you did with Youth Life and Young Life.
Thank you, sir.
I'd like to start your interview a little bit different today, and I would like to discuss some things a little bit different today.
Oh, boy.
And I would like for you to answer them a little bit different.
Which rabbit hole are we going down now?
Well, we haven't started the interview yet?
Well, not yet.
Oh, okay.
You haven't been here yet.
Long intro.
Well, I guess so.
He's here to talk about a book.
Yeah, I'm here to talk about my book, but, you know.
So, see, it hadn't even started yet, Keith.
Okay. Yeah. Right.
So, Keith.
I thought we started when he sat down and we said, hey, Greg.
No, that was just hello, Greg.
Oh, okay.
Just friends.
I pulled up an app.
An app?
To start his interview.
All right.
Oh, boy.
It's called NGIM, Keith. Tell him who that is.
Oh, that's Norm Geisler Ministries.
We missed the I.
Incorporated. International. That's right. Norm Geisler Ministries International.
Now, the first thing on my app talks about conversation evangelism. Okay.
Are you going to ask Greg some of those questions?
No, I tried doing that. That was hard.
Norm's son is with us often, and he'll say, "Guys, do you remember what Romans 6:45 says?" Oh, yeah, you're right.
Oh boy.
Well,
he pins us to the wall.
And he has questions for Hindus, for Muslims, all over. And I tried to ask the questions to the Hindu guy.
He got lost.
But I just got lost because of the gods they have and what they do. I didn't know. But the whole basis of Norm Geisler International Ministries is apologetics, period.
Yeah.
But it doesn't say apologetics. At first, it calls conversational evangelism. What does that mean, Keith?
Well, that means just sitting here talking, and maybe at breakfast at the Branson Cafe, you can sit there and talk and start sharing Christ with somebody who doesn't know.
Love it.
Answering their questions.
Yeah.
And you know that, but you're a very, very good writer. I watch your emails that you send, the stories of your grandma, your grandparents, the walnuts you talked about, the living in the hills. It's a freshness that you get when you read your things.
Well, thank you.
My attention span is so short, I can't even hardly get through Blondie and Dagwood anymore. Okay. Keith, tell people who that is.
That's old comics.
In the old newspaper. On
years
what day?
Ago. I don't know.
Sunday.
Beetle Bailey.
Thank you very much, Greg.
I know what you're talking about.
So what I want to do this morning with your book, talking about apologetics, that's a big word, and we asked Mr. Geisler that. Do you remember what apologetics means, Keith?
I do not.
What?
I just
what do you think the word apology means?
Well, apology means you got to say I'm sorry for something, but that's not anything with the gospel. We don't have to say we're sorry for that.
No, it's like apologetics is how we're explaining our faith. You know that answer.
Well,
Mr. Geisler would take you to task.
Yeah,
for
he
that.
Would, but I know that part. Yeah.
You did?
Yeah, I did know that.
Didn't sound like it. So you write a book that's got a big term apologetics surrounding it. Before we even give the title of the book, tell us about apologetics and what that means.
Apologetics is the defense of the Christian faith. It is the reasonableness of the Christian faith explained through understanding how the Bible was put together, through looking at how our creation was put together, and the logicalness of what we believe. That our faith is not just this whimsical fantasy. It's based on history. It's based on a real person who lived. And apologetics is is the study of that, the study of the reasonableness of the Christian faith. There's some great apologists from the history, Josh McDowell, more recently, Lee Strobel. Lee Strobel's a great apologist. Warner, I forgot his first name, is more recent, who was a cold case detective who is a believer now and has used that same. So that's apologetics. And the book that we're going to talk about, I'll let you do the title. I wanted to put apologetics in a story form because Jesus used stories to communicate to the common people of the time. And my target audience really is young adults who I've worked with over the years, who I'm finding over the more recent years, more and more young adults that I know are struggling with their faith. Some say they don't believe anymore.
And I want to encourage you to go to Norm Geisler's app, which I'll share with you, because he, in the steps of his father, is in the main line of apologists. But I'm going to give you another one. I'm going to send this home with you, my sheet today. And I want you to look up this gentleman's name right here. You know, I know it looks like Rivers, but it's not. It's David Reavers.
Reavers.
Right. And if you take a look, can you read what that show was about?
Says the national election as it relates to science and faith, Wonders Center and Science Museum.
Well, when you go to his Wonders Center and Science Museum.
It was great.
Unbelievable. And especially when we got to the part in the interview about the eclipse and some other things. But I threw out the term Louis Giglio and he told us about the stars. Remember the two telescopes, Keith? Yeah. Hubble and what's the other one?
Webb. Jimmy Webb.
Whatever. When you read this, it will tie into exactly what you're saying about looking at the creation.
Yeah, and I'll add to that, the wonders of the outer universe is unbelievable. When you study the wonders of our inner universe, even our human self, of what goes on inside of us, the design and the information in DNA and so forth, the wonders of the inner universe to me is as marvelous, if not more complex, than the outer universe. Both point to a designer.
Absolutely.
My brother-in-law, who's 93, had a heart procedure. He had a aorta valve replaced at 93.
My dad had that.
And he messed up the fuse box. What's the fuse box? I found out in your heart there's an electrical area right next to the aorta. And if you mess up that electrical box, what happens, Keith?
Yeah, it stops.
So they put in another electrical box, and those are called?
Pacemakers.
Pacemakers. The design of the heart and what they've done for my brother-in-law is amazing, what you're talking about. But here's where the interview is going to take a turn.
Uh-oh.
Because Keith is blind, and I can't pay attention for longer than 5 minutes. The name of the book is Pieces of the Puzzle. And we're going to keep this in the studio if you don't mind.
I'm giving it to the studio, not you, to the studio.
That's perfectly. And if somebody wants it, they can call or stop by to make an effort, if it's today, tomorrow, whatever. But if you happen to call, 417-334-5532, a story where doubt confronts rational belief in the broken world. Pieces of the Puzzle. So I don't want to dive into the book. I want you to tell us about the book without giving it away.
Yeah.
I want you to start in the first chapter, work your way through, and kind of paint us a storyteller's picture of what's in these pages.
Young man named Wyatt from this area in a fictional town called Berkeley near Forsyth is a young adult who doesn't know if he believes in God anymore because of trials in his life. His wife is battling cancer. His home life was not great. He had a sister who had committed suicide. A dad who left the family from alcoholism.
Now, time out a minute, because just in these first words, Keith, what age of person do you think we're talking about, Keith?
Well, at this point, he's probably, I don't know, in his 20s or so.
Yeah.
What did you have in your mind?
I had in my mind mid to upper 20s, okay. A young adult, married, no children yet. He's a manager at a local store in the area. And he's going to visit his grandmother in an area nursing home who was a big spiritual influence on his life, a very positive influence he's very close with. And in visiting with her, he finds this older black gentleman sitting at a table working on a puzzle. And it strikes his interest because he grew up not knowing many black people in his community where he's from. The gentleman sees him and smiles. They meet. They engage in conversation. In the conversation, the older gentleman named Marcus asks him about his faith. And Wyatt admits that he's not sure he believes in God anymore because of tough things in his life. And the gentleman looks at his puzzle, pulls up a piece of one of the pieces of puzzle, the title of the book, and he says, "Son, like these pieces of the puzzle, there's different reasons why I believe. And when you put the pieces together, it forms a picture.
Wow.
If you'll come visit me every time you see your grandmother, we'll talk about a piece." And so different chapters of the book are different reasons why this old man believes. And interwoven in that is the story not only of Wyatt's broken pieces in his life, but he finds out this older gentleman, who, by the way, is a retired Bible professor, also has broken pieces. And it's a story of friendship, of love, of reconciliation, and also an understanding, hopefully, of apologetics, that our faith is reasonable faith. It's not whimsical faith. It's right. Reasonable faith.
Keith, you don't have this opportunity, but you would if you did. I'll paint the picture for you and Greg. At the Rose House, where we minister on Sundays, they have a puzzle out. Mm-hmm. Keith, for sighted folks, it's hard to walk by the puzzle and not do what?
Put a piece in.
Right.
I've got a closing scene for your movie, Greg. I'll tell you about it.
I love it.
So when we walk by the puzzle, what do I have to look for, Keith?
You got to look for something that matches.
Yeah, I'm looking for the square corners.
Yeah,
corners.
Because that's something I can.
Got to do the corners.
But Mary has an ability to kind of look and see the piece that, fits up there that I would never see. So the picture you're painting here, I see it. But also see something else in the gentleman's name. And who's the black gentleman's name?
Marcus.
Let's talk about Marcus a minute. And we talked about him just the other day. Tony Evans is one of the great expository preachers who speaks of apologetics in a way that's crazy. He can start with the city government and in about 7 or 8 minutes take you all the way to the world. God starts with your city, your school board, on and on. And he does a great job doing that. But he had an associate pastor who wrote a book. Was called If You Only Knew. And you're talking about Marcus the same way. You're sitting in church next to somebody. These are good people, and you have no idea what, Keith.
What they've been through, what's gone on in their life, just like Marcus in your book, and people around you. People at the Branson Cafe this morning, you don't know what all those folks were dealing with that were having breakfast.
Everybody's got story. Everybody's got context. Everybody's got wounds. Everybody's got hopes and dreams. Everybody's precious, precious, precious in the sight of God.
And we get slimed by the world. Mm-hmm. The headlines that I report on Monday, on most mornings, somebody's getting slimed. Believe me, even though it's a basketball game, there's a large blue nation in Kentucky that was so disappointed yesterday because the hopes and dreams they had for their team to go on in advance. But a little school that's not in Oakland, California, Keith, it's in Michigan, where a guy was confident that he had 15 three-pointers. So confident that he leaned over to the microphone to the announcer on CBS and said, "We're no Cinderella. This is not over yet." There's stories behind all of these, and in this book of pieces of the puzzle, it continues. So tell us more.
Wyatt walks away from that first encounter with Marcus very intrigued and troubled, and as the story continues, he does come back to take up Marcus's challenge to hear the piece of the puzzle, and the corner pieces of the puzzle I will share in the opening chapters deal with things like design. Where does design come from? The universe having a starting point. The moral law. Where does this idea of right and wrong comes from? Where does this idea of story come from? Things like that are border pieces that Marcus starts sharing, and they have conversations.
All right, you've uncovered some more things of the puzzle.
That's about all I'm going to uncover.
Can you hear what he just said about the pieces of the puzzle when it came to moral law? Yeah. We just talked about that. Squatters in houses, police people that aren't there, lawlessness. What's the piece of the puzzles? Tell us about that.
Well, the pieces of the puzzle are all indicators of a greater picture of reality and truth. And it's sometimes hard to see when you're living in brokenness. That's the idea of this book. I want to be real and honest that it is hard. It is hard when you're going through very dark times and very hard times, where you're dealing with tragedy, you're dealing with betrayal, you're dealing with guilt over your own fallenness. Sometimes it's hard to see that truth when the world is so dark and confusing. And in this, what I call the misinformation superhighway, young people are confused. People are dealing with anxiety as never before. In the midst of that, there's still truth. There's still reality. And that's the point of this story and this friendship of these two, is finding the reality and the hope in Christ. And the inner piece of the puzzle we get into is the reality of Jesus living and the Bible and the trustworthiness of the Bible, and then the evidence for the resurrection in history and the impact of the resurrection and changed lives.
We encourage you to get the book. It's
available. Where is it available?
It's available on Amazon.com.
Okay.
And I actually have about 50 copies still.
Good.
Yeah. If you want a signed copy, I think it's worth 1.3 cents more.
Wow. That's perfectly okay.
Okay.
It's coming in a box.
Yeah. So.
He missed that one. He didn't hear our discussion about the box. But that's okay.
I buy some of the copy, but he brings me my stuff in no box.
It was shrink-wrapped and had a rubber band around it.
Well, there
Greg,
you go.
I know. Greg's going to look at me and say, get over it.
Marcus was the guy at the nursing home or facility, right?
Where, yeah.
And who's the guy that comes to see him?
Wyatt is the young man, and it's written in first person from Wyatt's perspective. He's going to see his grandmother and meets Marcus, and a friendship's developed. Marcus is there because he had a stroke. He's from Arkansas. He's kind of lonely because his two boys live far away and are busy with their own lives.
Right.
So he's got some sadness there, but he's a joyous believer in Christ, and a great friendship with Wyatt's grandmother, as we'll see in another chapter. The three of them get together.
Well, the ending scene is Wyatt comes into the facility and he looks at the table, and the puzzle is on the table. But Marcus isn't there anymore. And the lady at the front desk says, Marcus passed last night. So Wyatt goes over. He puts the difficult pieces to the puzzle. It's all together, and we faded black.
No, that's not how it ends, but I like your ending
well.
Ending? That's brilliant.
He's pretty good at that kind of stuff.
Hey, get the book. What's the title?
Pieces of the Puzzle.
All right. And you can check it out on Amazon, or get a hold of, how they get a hold of you to get a signed copy.
They can either email me at gstone0429@gmail.com or call you all.
Sure. Okay.
And then you can give them my number.
Call the radio station. We'll get you fixed up, and he's got some copies he can sign for you.
We call it Friday Fun Chit Chat. Can you stay with us for the next half hour? Because there's some questions from the book I want to ask you.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, we don't charge extra for this, and so if it's a financial situation, Keith's covering it for you.
I just put it on my credit card.
Put it on your card. There you go.
See what I told you? I told you that this morning. Yeah. That cost you an extra 3%.
Hey, we'll be back in a moment. Yeah. Good morning.
Bring me your copy stuff. Yeah, bring me your weary.
Get a box. Yeah, there you go. Hey, we're going to continue. Good morning, Ozarks. Will you stay with us here at the round table? 45 degrees. Darren's going to keep us updated on the weather, so stay with us at Life FM. Welcome to the 8 o'clock half hour of Good Morning Ozarks. Keith O'Neill and Charlie Ingram. It's 8:02, 45 degrees as you get started. And Darren's going to keep us updated on the weather all morning long. So keep an ear out on the radio and find out what's going to happen.
If any of you all are looking at your brackets today, Greg Stone made such a great comment. I showed him the text that Kaiden Goodwin had sent.
22 million.
22 million brackets and 1,800 are left. And then Greg said something very, very important.
1,800? Right. For some reason or another, I didn't compute that. That's a lot gone. I mean, that's huge.
May I tell you again, Keith, so you didn't miss it?
22 million.
Let me give you the exact numbers.
Yeah, well, that's okay.
22 million. It's not okay. I'm giving you the complete numbers.
Right,
don't try to shove
ahead.
Over me like that.
Yeah, go ahead.
You're going to get the number.
Go.
That's all right.
That's all right. Go.
You didn't even know the date this morning.
No, I didn't.
22,112,822.
Right.
Of that, only 1,825 are perfect brackets now.
Man.
But then Greg said the great word. Remember what you said?
No.
That was the first day.
Yeah, that was the first
day. Yeah, first day.
You know, that's less than, if my math is right, that's less than 10% still intact.
0.06%.
Is that what it is?
Yes.
A little over half.
No.
Of a percent.
Of a percent.
Of a percent.
Yeah.
Man,
Keith,
not very many.
I would suggest you not add your books up at the office.
I'm not the bookkeeper.
Which is good. So today there's going to be teams like Northwestern and Big Ten and Purdue and others.
Hey,
we'll see which one's going to be the upset.
Yeah, Nebraska.
Here's the big upset. Stetson over UConn.
Really?
That'll bust a lot of brackets there.
I got UConn at the end.
That's why I'm hoping that you get busted.
Yeah. I get busted?
Yes.
Greg, is that right for him to hope I get busted?
Greg?
I'm gonna stay out of this one.
Oh, why would you
do that? Because I want to be a peacemaker.
Oh, my goodness sakes, Levin. Get your plowshares and go do your thing. Okay. Grambling, Purdue. And I tell you what, Grambling is fast and quick, and they haven't been in the tournament before, and I'm just nervous. Okay?
Uh-huh.
Charleston, Alabama. James Madison and Wisconsin, TCU, Utah State. TCU, Mary saw play the other day in the Big 12 tournament. They're quick and fast. And the last one, watch this upset at the very end of the night. Grand Canyon University.
Yeah.
Do you know where that's at?
Grand Canyon.
Yes. You know who their coach is?
The guy that coaches them.
Greg?
I don't know.
Who's the coach of Baylor?
Oh.
Forgot his name.
Didn't know
Homer
that.
Drew's son.
Yeah.
All right. His brother coaches at Grand Canyon.
Huh.
Okay. And they're playing St. Mary's, who is the big team that beat Gonzaga. So there you go.
Should be interesting.
We'll see what happens.
And Missouri State beat St. Mary's earlier this year. I picked Grand Canyon in the upset in this one.
Woo! Wow.
Yeah.
I like that.
Wow. Well, yeah.
Greg, I want to talk to you and Keith about the rug chanter. You talked about it today. You did.
Rug chanter?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Oh, king of man who didn't want those exact numbers of the 22 million. I wasn't going to let you get off of that. So here's the picture that was painted to me. In India, or one of the eastern countries, they weave rugs very professionally. And they use a weaver to do that. And when they do that, there's a chant that a weaver does almost like the rowing people. You remember how those go, the row people, Keith?
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah, you're looking at me like I'm crazy.
I remember there was one, but
there's
a
command that you're given and you're rowing. You know what I'm talking about?
Eight Men in a Boat. Great movie.
Thank you, buddy.
Talks about that.
8 Men in a Boat.
So this chanter is going, whatever he's doing, and the weaver's getting into a rhythm.
Uh-huh.
And the back of this thing is ugly. It's strings.
Ugly.
And chanting and working and working and chanting and working and working.
Yep.
Then finally the last chant is done. The last thread is put in place, and it is as ugly as you can imagine.
Right.
And then they turn the rug over.
Yep. Beautiful.
Isn't that a picture of what God does to our life?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
My goodness, the strings on the outside of my life look so ugly. But when God looks at me, it looks so beautiful. And I saw that in your book. And in your book, you brought up a couple of points. And I'd like you to comment on your thought process or even something from the book. When the young man, what's his name? The young man, Keith, what's his name?
Mark?
Wyatt.
Just check it. That's my grandson's name. Just great-grandson's
Wyatt,
name. Okay.
Yeah.
And who was the gentleman?
Marcus.
See, Keith, I'm doing this for you.
See, I got confused. Marcus is the guy. Wyatt's the young man.
You'll never miss it.
You got it.
I don't remember Marcus asking him what church he went to. I didn't remember in the very beginning. He says, let me ask you about the four spiritual laws. You said later he's a Bible scholar.
Yeah.
Keith, what's the picture there?
Well, the picture there is that he just wants to pour into the young man and open the gospel through him. And at the end of it, Wyatt might say, well, I got there because the man on the middle cross said I could go, I guess. Wyatt, is that right? And Wyatt would say, sure.
So my question is your comment on that, because it happens to us with homosexuality, transgenders that we run into, people that are a different faith than we do. We dive in so quick that we put up so many fences right off the bat, we can't even get to know people.
Yeah. I think the key thing here in this book, and I think the beauty of the faith that Marcus had and the wisdom and the maturity, is that he saw Wyatt as someone to get to know and to accept and love and present the truth. I always say that it talks about Jesus in John 1, that he was full of grace and truth. And I've always said, I think it's important that grace precedes truth. And you saw that with Jesus time and time again as he approached the fallen and the broken people. Grace preceded truth. The woman caught in adultery. Does anyone condemn you? Neither do I. Grace, truth, go and sin no more. We want to go right to the truth. We want to go right to judgment. You got to have both. You got to have grace and truth. And as the story unfolds, Marcus presents truth, but it's enveloped in grace and love and acceptance. And God has that with us. He accepts us right where we're at. He just doesn't intend on keeping us there.
Greg, has this been a book that you've kind of long wanted to write, or did you just decide one day I'm going to write a book? How did it come about?
It's been on my mind for a while, and you know, and as in any author will tell you, every book's autobiographical in some point. And I've dealt with woundedness and pain in my life in recent years. My son went through some horrible struggles in 2020, 2021. I've lost both parents. My wife lost her dad. My wife had a sister tragically killed in an accident crossing a street, hit by a car, her only sibling. A lot of tough stuff. And in the midst of that, you know, I've had my questions and my anger towards God of why. And then I've had people that I've discipled, like I said, through Doulos Ministries and Young Life, young adults that say they don't believe anymore. And it breaks my heart. And our culture today, post-COVID, all the things that's going on, I wanted to write a story of, yes, we can believe and there's reasons, but I didn't want it to be academic. I wanted it to be in a story form, embracing and understanding that it is a tough world. But in the midst of that, there's hope, there's joy, there's truth that God loves us, and there is hope. So I wanted to defend the faith, but I wanted to do it in a way that people could be immersed in a story. Because for me, Jesus, in his brilliance, he taught in stories, parables, over and over again. In that oral culture, people remembered, and it connected to their hearts. So that's why I wrote the story.
Well, that's good. I like that.
I want you to listen to something we got for you. And I think your book does this, and I think your life does this. Let's see if I can't get it here for you. Ready, Darren?
Did you know we're all one click away from Christ? Nick Della Valle explains.
Our thought is you're not called to go out and convince. You're called to go out and tell. And we believe that every person has a combination lock on their heart. And like on the old high school things we used to have. And we believe every time you say Jesus Christ, something happens in the atmosphere. And I don't understand it, but we believe something shifts, something changes. Anytime you say the name of Jesus. And we believe that's a click on the lock of the heart. Now, when I go out and somebody says to me, hey, little guy dressed funny, what are you doing? And I say, well, I'm walking for Jesus or I'm talking for Jesus. I hear a click, click. Right? Now, I'm not worried about leading the man or the woman to the Lord because I know you're right behind me with another click. And until all those clicks are there, that heart doesn't open. But once all the clicks are there, the heart opens and Jesus comes in. So it doesn't matter to us if we're the first click, a middle click, or the last click. Mm. We just want to be part of that combination to that man or woman's heart. And all we've got to do is say Jesus. If you say Jesus to one of your relatives and they roll their eyes, let them roll their eyes. So what? You got a click in. They're one click closer to eternal salvation than they were.
This was presented by KLFC Radio Life FM Branson. To find out more about Breath of Christ Ministries, Nick and Lucy Della Valle, visit christwalk.us.
One click. One
walk,
click at a time.
Walking down that hall several years ago, a man 4 foot four and a quarter, and his wife next to him standing 4 foot
even,
walked in this door and changed us. Mm-hmm. Former Las Vegas car dealer. The Lord said, walk, and so he was going to walk in a short distance in California. Why are you just doing that? It's the same step, so just walk across the United States, which he did. How many times?
Three.
Wow.
Three times. And when he came to the Rose House and other places, and he did blind Bartimaeus.
Oh, man.
Mm. Saw his wife for the first time. As a wee little man when he did Zacchaeus in the first person. It's exactly what you're doing here. You're painting a picture pieces of a puzzle that can change our lives. Keith and I have a lot of fun together, and there are people that love sports, don't like baseball, don't like football, don't like the Chiefs. We're concerned about those people.
Yes, praying for you.
Okay. But yet, the human interest stories behind every one of those. Peel back the NCAA tournament. Walk into the locker room with a young man that just lost his mom or his dad, or one dealing with cancer, or all these. And the men that have come around them. Adam Donier, when Boise State was playing, I texted him and I said, should I be rooting for Boise State? And he wrote back and said, of course, there's many Christian coaches on that staff. Well, most people didn't know that. There are so many Christians throughout this NCAA tournament that are taking this, as we've said earlier, and using this as a learning moment.
Yes.
Believe me, Calipari might not be my favorite coach, but I will tell you one thing. When those kids were hurting after they got beat, they were hurt. They got beat by a team that was not expected. It fooled almost 20 million people, right, Keith?
Yeah.
Or more.
Oh, yeah.
So thank you for what you've done. Stay with us. We've got a verse of the day that we want you to hear. We want you to close out the program with us. It's Good Morning Ozarks. This is my buddy Keith, our friend Greg Stone, and on the board, our really good buddy, Darren Ahrens.
Yep. We'll be back in just a moment with the verse of the day.
Okay. I need some help on you two, and you guys are very smart. Both of you are. Well, one of you is smarter than the other one.
Yeah, that's true.
But you know who it is, Keith, so just go ahead and say it.
Huh. What?
Who's smarter than the other one?
He is.
No, smarter Keith, come on now. You are a copy shop.
No, well, that doesn't make me smart.
Yeah.
Box. I have good staff. They can spell things right, print them right. Yeah. Give you a box if you buy it.
Keith doesn't do really good on the visual.
No.
I asked you how the cards look.
The proofing I'm not too good on.
All right. I wrote down when you were having your conversation about your book, which is good, by the way, and if anybody wants to stop by the studio and get it, or call the studio and find out how you can buy one, which we encourage you to do off of Amazon, Pieces of the Puzzle. I want you to put yourself into the place of this 25 or 30-year-old, 40 or 50 if you want to, but I'm not going to go to the old people. Old people north of 55, right, Keith?
Yeah.
They're not really old.
No.
My brother-in-law worked at the senior home when he was 90, and he said, them old people drive me crazy.
Yeah, really?
I want you to tell me in your words, one word, and I wrote one down, and I want you to add to this list, Christians. Okay, you got it, Keith?
Yep.
Top of your paper,
yeah,
Christians.
Yeah, yep.
And here's the first word I wrote underneath it.
Okay.
Haters.
Ooh.
If these people who don't have a faith are looking at us, and I'm not going to say blue state, red state, purple state, whatever, that are looking at us that aren't Christians, give me another word they're calling us.
Judgmental.
Oh, man.
That was where I was at. That's
Keith?
They really think we are judgmental. You know, unforgiving.
Oof. Greg?
Hypocrites.
Oh, my goodness sakes alive. You guys are on a roll. Keith?
Yeah, misled.
Wow.
Narrow-minded.
Oh, I like that. Mm. Let me write mine down. Weak. Hmm. Keith?
Boy, we've covered some good ones.
Unfair.
Maybe, yeah.
Critical.
Yeah, oh yeah, very
yeah, critical.
Yeah.
Domineering.
Mm. Yep. Could take that one.
Outspoken critics of other people.
Well, that goes with critical.
It might have, Keith, but I wrote it down. Greg, look at that list we just wrote. Why?
What's sad is, when you read that list, that's probably the words that Jesus would have described many of the Pharisees, the religious leaders at that time, and how they were, and how our culture perceives us, much like Jesus perceived the Pharisees, as judgmental, as critical. And we can just defend ourselves and say, well, we're not that way. Or we can go, Lord, show us the way to be full of grace, your grace and your truth, that balance of grace and truth. How we can, because we sometimes can swing the pendulum too far that, oh, we just need to love people and accept them where they're at, no matter what they believe. No, we need to accept them and love them, but we need to present the truth. We need to present the truth, and sometimes we'll get criticized for it, but then we keep loving them. It's like in Young Life Ministry, we care for kids and love kids no matter where they're at, but we will share truth with them. And if they reject it, guess what? We're still going to love them.
Amen. Keith's got something for you today. Keith, summarize for Mr. Greg Stone, our guest today, John MacArthur was asked a question. Remember what the question was he was asked yesterday?
Well, yeah.
From his sister?
He was asked by a young lady, I have a sibling who is transgender. Can you tell me about that?
Her specific question was, what pronouns should I use?
Yeah, that's right.
Remember his answer?
Well, it's a he or a she. That's the way God made us. And whether or not they identify or want to identify with something else, the bottom line is they're XX or XY, and you can't change that.
And he went in.
So share truth.
In a very, very hard discussion about biological, scientific, how when you do that, you just looking at God said, what you've done for me, I'm not who you say I am. And it's on the podcast. You can go back, thanks to Darren yesterday, and you can look at
a good one.
John MacArthur's statements. Mm-hmm. And then he said, but you got to do all of this in love.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think I'm one of those that maybe hasn't done that the best way, because I get so agitated, aggravated at what's happening in Washington, D.C., and I got to get past the fact that it's not Joe Biden. It's not Kamala Harris. It's the evil in the world, and they need what, Keith?
They need Jesus.
Greg, your closing comments.
100% agree. It reminds me, I did a funeral recently of a friend, a classmate, and I was told that his daughter was there and wanted to be referred in the plural they, and I just couldn't do that. But when I referred to this person, I just said, my friend's daughter, and she did the slideshow, and I complimented that and complimented her because I wanted to balance grace and truth, that I wasn't going to call this person a they because it's a she. But I didn't want to make an issue of that. Right. I wanted to put Christ first. And so we have that balance, but grace and truth, care for people, but speak the truth in love.
When Jesus came to this earth as born of a little baby, who would have ever thought it? They talked about it in the Old Testament. We should have known it was coming.
Yep.
But when he started in that ministry when he was 33 years old, when he was 30, I'm sorry, before he was 33, started walking and talking and healing. How in the world could you be standing there? Lazarus was what? In the grave how long?
4 days.
And he began to what?
Stinketh.
Boy, and you're from the farm. You know when the animal's been run over out in the field or something's been done, all of a sudden you smell something. Man, something is...
Not. Rancid. Rancid.
Man,
rancid.
What, something's dead.
Yeah.
Something's
yeah.
dead.
So, Lazarus is dead. And in front of Mary and Martha's friends and Jewish leaders, he said, Lazarus, come forth. And I can see him right now with the towels around his legs, hobbling out of there like you're playing a three-legged race. And what do you want? He rose him from the dead. Jesus is what he does. But he says, I came to this world not to destroy it, but to fulfill it. And we have a world that is full of legalism, traditionalism, Pharisaism, and all other types of isms. Give people what they can do to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, Greg.
Amen. Love them, care for them, speak the truth in love. And do it all prayerfully and dependent on the Spirit of God in us. And humility. We're all broken. So ask the Lord to give you the heart for people. And the Pharisaism, the judgmentalism. And I struggle with that at times too. I have to keep coming before the Lord and confessing that and asking Him to wash me anew and to change me, to live through me. One of my life verses that I write in every book is Galatians 2:20. I've been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me.
Greg Stone, the author of Pieces of the Puzzle, great friend of the community. I would encourage you, if you have a small group, would like him to come talk to you about the book, talk to you about life. He's at that age in his life that he understands hurt and pain, as we all do. Darren, you do, and Keith and I do. And thank the Lord for a freshness that we have in our lives. I knew this would be a fun time today. Thanks
always
for
is.
Coming.
Always is. Thank you.
It'll be on the podcast. Tell them where you can find it, Keith.
Well, you can go to klfcradio.com and listen to the podcast about 12 or 1 o'clock today. And, Greg, you're welcome to go to klfcradio.com and share that with somebody.
Will do.
Didn't get a chance to hear it. And you can go to Spotify on your phone if you have the app, and you can share the podcast. So now, come back and see us again.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Do me a favor. If you would write here, however you like to do that. Now, these pens are kind of rough. They're from Keith. They're free. They're kind of cheap. But they'll write pretty good.
But they write good.
Well, the cremation one gave out yesterday. The springs and everything came away. Yeah. To a loyal listener, because we don't know who's going to get the book. Of right. KLFC Radio.
Right, yeah. That'd be good.
Keith.
Yes?
I hope number... Keith, do me one
tonight,
favor.
Tonight, 5:55.
Keith, do me a favor, buddy. Oh. I know you don't like it. I know you don't follow it. Don't let me down.
I'll try not. Keith. Were you one of the 1,800 brackets that's still intact?
Oh, no.
I didn't think so.
No, I am.
Mine's in tatters.
In tatters, yeah.
I am busted.
Busted.
And Mary picked Duquesne over that other, I forget what that upset was. That,
really?
That was a minor deal compared to
Oakland.
Oh, my goodness. Mm, they're going to be the Cinderella of them all.
Well, they're not a Cinderella team.
That's a good point. Yep. I shouldn't
not
have said that.
Not a Cinderella
that.
Team.
So, Keith, they'll bring Nebraska that. Through. Purdue. Right. Do me. Purdue.
When does Purdue play?
They play tonight against Grambling, and everybody in the world is going to be rooting for Grambling. And they're fast and they're quick and they can shoot.
Oh,
but 0-7-4 Mr. Tree, Grant. Zach Edey, standing in the center. I just hope he can protect the basket.
Well, we'll find out. And if your bracket's busted, just stay with us anyway. But on the KLFC brackets, just check for smog corn.
Yeah.
We're going to win it all.
Hey, baseball has started. It started out in Korea.
Yeah, second game's already been. And, boy.
They split 1-1.
Yep, 1-1.
They come home.
Yep.
Branson plays Knicks at 4:30 today.
Oh, they do?
Yep.
All right.
Home game.
Home? Where? Here? Home game.
Here at home.
That's what you mean by home game.
Pirate
right?
Park.
Hang on.
Pirate Park. Yeah, that's what you meant. You don't even have to go there. I know I messed up. Home games
when did
mean
you mess up?
When home games mean when you play on your own field.
What's the date?
Today is the 22nd. March 22nd.
I just figured out what your problem was.
What?
You're getting the twos in front of each other.
Yeah, I know.
Give him your favorite date, though, this year.
Oh, this year so far it was 2/24/24. And I did that about seven or eight times last month.
Before the date, which was on a weekend.
Yeah.
He's a numbers guy. It's Good Morning
Ozarks.
I like
numbers.
88.1 streaming all over the world, keeping in mind one thing. Put your faith and hope
in Jesus.
And go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Because you're listening to Good Morning Ozarks. You're listening to
The Good Guys
at
Sunrise. We'll be back on Monday. Love to invite you to be with us. Have a blessed and wonderful weekend. Hope some of your bracket stays intact.
Some listeners said, I'll be glad when it's sunset. See you, buddy.
Hey, we'll see you Monday. God bless you. Thanks for listening today. Bye-bye.